Funding for Think comes from SMU's continuing and professional education.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. What do Americans really want? And what do our collective aspirations and desires say about us as a society? In search of the answers to those questions, researcher and communications consultant Frank Luntz and his staff have spent a decade conducting focus groups, conducting thousands of face-to-face interviews and a million telephone surveys, asking about everything from professional ambitions and political opinions to snacking habits and the seven deadly sins. He's put it all together in a revealing new book called What Americans Really Want, Really, The Truth About Our Hopes, Dreams, and Fears. Frank, welcome back to Think.
Thank you, and man, you've got a good radio. I can tell you right now, what Americans really want, really, is the radio voice that you have.
Thank you. It never hurts to start the interview off with a little flattery for the host. You have talked to people all over the country about the things that matter most to them, and you've concluded in part that we are a nation of well-meaning hypocrites. Can you talk about that?
Yes. First off, it's in the last 10 years, we've done somewhere in the neighborhood of 1 million interviews, either telephone or online or face-to-face in the dial sessions that some of your listeners may have seen me do. And I personally have moderated somewhere close to 1,000 of those dial sessions myself. And so you get a chance to really understand how people feel, not the superficial of what they might say to look good in a crowd, but what's really going on inside. And I want to challenge your listeners right now in two ways. Number one is that we actually are a nation of hypocrites. That is, that we have two strong points of view that are mutually impossible to hold at the same time, and yet we do. And I'm going to give you an example. Most of us would rather have smaller government. Most of us would rather have more freedom. And yet we still expect the government to pay for things that we actually don't necessarily want to pay for ourselves. We want better government services, but we want to pay less taxes for them. And so we've got this conflict going on in our heads, point one. And point two is we used to be the most optimistic, and this is one of the sad parts of the book. We were one of the most optimistic societies on the face of the globe. We believed that our kids would have it better than us because we had it better than our parents. Now, a majority of Americans believe that their children are going to have a worse quality of life than them, and a majority believe that the America that they inherit will be worse than what they have. So those are two examples of some of the challenging findings that I got in writing What Americans Really Want, Really.
Well, this takes us straight to the idea that you say that we need straight talk about the state of the economy and our place within it, but not pessimism. What's the difference in a time when so many people are having a tough time?
And they are, and you acknowledge that they're having a tough time. I'll give you the answer both for government and for business because they're equally important. We're frustrated with Washington, and we're frustrated with politics because they don't provide, quote, accountability, unquote. We want our elected officials to be held accountable for what they promise, for what they say. We want them to look us straight in the eye and say what they mean and mean what they say. And when they don't, whether they're Republicans or Democrats, it doesn't matter to us. When they break their promises, we want them punished. And yet it seems like we can never vote them out of office. And they say one thing right before the election and do something else right after. So that breeds frustration. The second thing, there's an entire chapter in the book about the workplace environment and what workers want more than anything else from managers and from the company they work for is respect. And they feel that CEOs that get a $10 million bonus at the same time they're laying off people isn't demonstrating respect, or that CEOs that get a bonus at a time when shareholder value is down 20 or 30%, that's not respect. And so if you can instill accountability, and there's a whole chapter on politics, and you can instill respect in the workplace, those two will go a long way to instilling a sense of confidence in the future.
Yeah, remarkably, you found that a majority of Americans of all ages, and a lot of things that you did sort of varied according to generation, but in this case, a majority of us prefer a good and satisfying job over one that pays more.
And that's because we realize that you only go around once in life. And that as important as money is, particularly in tough times, the job itself, we spend more time at the job than anything else that we do with the exception of sleeping. And actually, most of us now spend more time at work than we do asleep. We want it to be rewarding. We want it to be fulfilling. And one of the reasons why I wrote Words That Work is because so many employees, And that includes people who are listening right now, are unhappy at work. They're not communicating effectively with their colleagues. And there's certain things that you can say and things that you can do to make your workplace environment much more thrilling and exciting and much more rewarding, whether you are a manager or one of the people being managed.
Remarkably, a greater percentage of us place value on financial security than happiness. Did that surprise you?
Yes, and it never used to be that way. The greatest challenge I had in writing this book is that it was changing as I was writing it. The first draft was done in September as the whole financial market was coming apart. I had a second opportunity to redo the draft in January when we knew no bottom, when the market was dropping 100 points a day, and companies were, every single day, companies were laying off thousands of people. And then I got one more shot at it in June when things had turned around, but the anger had just started in the town hall meetings in Texas and in other places. And so, in essence, I had to redo it three times to keep track of where Americans, of what they were thinking and how they were feeling. And it changed the dynamic. And so I've got one word to describe all of this. You've heard this word before, reset. Whatever you thought of America 18 months ago has changed completely since then. Whatever your expectations and your assumptions about what we think and how we feel, through the 1990s and through this decade, it's all different. And so we have to accept that, understand it, learn from it if we are to improve it.
Part of that reset includes sort of getting real about where we are financially. How well did you find we understand our own prospects individually for, say, a comfortable retirement?
Well, I'll give you the best example. Right now, 34% of Americans, according to the research we did, 34%, one-third, if they lose their jobs tomorrow, run out of savings in 6 weeks. That's why nobody's spending. That's why shopping malls are still empty. That's why you had to do cash for clunkers to get anyone to buy a car. It was the sense, and by the way, one out of three Americans are afraid that they will lose their jobs in the next 12 months. And so the fear of being unemployed and the fear of having no savings is combining to cause us to basically shut down. And even though you see the stock market going up, in the news report just before I came on, you hear consumer confidence taking a dip downward. That's why. The markets may be up. Investments may be up. But our expectations and our attitudes certainly aren't.
What did people tell you about why they haven't been able to save more or haven't chosen to save more?
The public, in asking the question, the public's response, it's different between men and women, and it's different between those under 40 and those over 50. Men want to spend because they measure their success not by how much they have in the bank, but the stuff that they have. And I know it sounds really almost crude, but there's a difference between how men and women measure success. And men show stuff as their example, whereas women are much more likely to save. Women are far more likely to handle the family budget than men are. And so they know the actual condition of savings. And that's why women are much more worried than men are about where they stand now and where they are in the future. But they both agree on one thing. They know they should be saving more, and they haven't. And now doomsday has come, and they really don't have a safety net.
Since we're talking about getting real here, clearly there is a subset of Americans that literally can only pay the most basic expenses. But for the rest of us, do you think it's valid to say we couldn't have been saving more before the economy took a downturn?
We should have been saving more. What do Americans really want, really? They want to have everything now rather than delayed gratification. They want the good life rather than the American dream, because the good life is all that extra stuff to kick back. And what they don't want is to take their medicine now so they can have a better life in the future. And so the problem you now have is that's why we're in such a great calamity. It has nothing to do with whether you're Republican or Democrat. And frankly, it's less to do whether you're middle class or working class or upper class. It has to do with a behavior that basically took a hold of us about 15 years ago that stopped focusing on intergenerational improvement and delayed gratification and started addressing much more the needs that we had today.
You say the primary American conflict in the next half century is likely to be old versus young. What issues will inform that conflict?
Yeah, and in fact, there are two chapters that are specifically focused on that, on those attributes. One chapter, I call them Gen 2020, because they're 18 to 29-year-olds. In the year 2020, they will assume a leadership position in this country, and they are less like their parents than any generation since those in the 1960s, late 60s, were reflective of their parents who were kids in the early 1940s. They have a different attitudes towards technology, and they grew up with the web. They grew up with computers. They grew up with cell phones. To them, it's not technology. It's merely a way to communicate. They can't write their name, but they can text in 5 seconds. They can't type the way we were all taught to type, but they can still get 50 messages out faster than their parents can get out 10 messages. They have no attention span, but they can follow 5 different thought processes at the same time. So they're wired differently. Their whole brain functions differently. And then add a greater spread to it when you go to the grandchild and the grandparent, and then it's like night and day. And by the way, the most special relationship, the most special human relationship is between the grandchild and the grandparent. Why? Because they both have the same enemy.
Dr. Frank Luntz is with us. His new book is called What Americans Really Want, Really, The Truth About Our Hopes, Dreams, and Fears. We'll resume this conversation in a moment and invite you to join us by calling 1-800-933-5372. Jeff Whittington has just joined me here in the studio. He is the senior producer of Think. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Chris. And what a fascinating conversation. I mean, we always know that when we have Dr. Luntz on the show that it's really interesting. And I don't want to stray into that territory where the guest is so interesting that you don't call another number, which is 800-456-5372. You can pick up your very own copy of Frank Luntz's new book, What Americans Really Want, Really, when you join the station today as a member at the $120 membership level. And as we always say, this is a book that's out in stores right now. Obviously, we think it's worthy enough to cover, to talk to Dr. Luntz on the show again, to encourage you to be interested in this topic. So we encourage you to go get the book at the bookstore if you'd like to. But we'd also encourage you to join the station, because this is the forum that brings you these kinds of conversations on a daily basis.
1-800-456-5372 is the telephone number. If you want to get that copy of the book with our compliments at the $120 level, you can make a contribution, though, at any level. You can receive the book as a thank you gift and make a $500 contribution if you want to. $120 is our minimum so that we can sort of buy the book, send it to you, and still have a substantial contribution to the station. If you would like to join online, you can go to kera.org. There's a whole list of thank you gifts there. We know a lot of you don't really want the thank you gift, or you'll get the thank you gift on your own and do what you want to do. But your contribution to the station does make it possible for us to have a conversation. You know, you've probably seen Frank Luntz all over the media, but very often he's on shows where he gets to talk for about 3 minutes and then they have to move on to another guest. He's got a lot to say. The book has a lot to say. We're really delighted to be independent and locally programmed and to be able to bring this to you for an entire hour.
If you want to hear more from Dr. Luntz, he's going to be in town next Monday for a luncheon. It's the National Center for Policy Analysis Distinguished Lecture Series. You can find out about that at ncpa.org. While you're online, go to kera.org. Contribute to the station that brings you this conversation. Over half an hour of a conversation with Dr. Frank Luntz today. So please support this kind of programming. You listen to it. You get something out of it. And it's your responsibility to help out. 800-456-5372 or online at kera.org.
Membership only takes a couple of minutes to initiate. If you're renewing, it might even go faster. The people on the phone can tell you everything you need to know if you've got a question about something that we've mentioned. 1-800-456-5372 is the telephone number. You can also go to kera.org online. It's all tax deductible and easy to do, and it will guarantee you another year of great radio. We'll be back in just a minute.
Funding for Think comes from SMU's Continuing and Professional Education, who can help you get ahead in today's tough economy. Hundreds of courses begin weekly this fall. Online at smu.edu/CAPE.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. My guest this hour is Frank Luntz. His new book is called What Americans Really Want, Really. He will be in town on November 2nd to speak to the National Center for Policy Analysis Distinguished Lecture Series. You can find information about that at ncpa.org. If you want to be part of the conversation, give us a call at 1-800-933-5372. Frank, one of the other interesting things about this Generation 2020 is that you find that this group of Americans avoids news. Why aren't they wanting to keep up with what's going on?
Because to them, what matters is what's around them. What matters is what's happening to their friends. It's why they're all Facebooking and texting, and they're all so constantly connected. By the way, they will be in the same room with each other, and they won't talk to each other. They will text each other.
I've seen that.
Even if they're only 10 feet apart. The verbal communication between them is so much less important than it is to have these short bursts. And it's because they don't value the quality of the communication. It's the quantity and the speed that matters.
It's an interesting argument because there are people of our generation that think we have to get them on board with the way we think, but it seems almost like the ship has sailed.
I agree with that. And I'm going to give your listeners perhaps the most important aspect. For those that have children or grandchildren between the ages of 10 and 18, I'm going to tell you the six behaviors that are most important in keeping their children drug-free, alcohol-free, happy, and healthy. It's in the last chapter of the book. I'm going to stall for 5 seconds as people grab their pens. If they don't write it down, then go out and buy What Americans Really Want, Really. The most important thing you can do for your children to make sure that they're happy, healthy, and drug-free, have dinner with them 5 nights a week or more, because that tells them that they're the most important thing in your life and you really care about them more than anything else. Second is you take them to religious services once a week. That explains that even if you can't see it, that essence of faith causes young people to behave differently towards themselves, towards their family and friends, and towards the outside world. It instills in them a respect and an awe that non-religion doesn't. Third, check their homework 4 nights a week or more, because their intellectual development is just as important as their physical development. Fourth, and this is probably the hardest for your listeners, do you take the kids away for at least a week at a time and you throw your BlackBerry in the briefcase and you don't take it out? Every time that a parent pulls out a BlackBerry in front of a child, you're saying to that child directly, you don't matter as much as this person who I don't even know who's calling or who's emailing me, but they're more important than you are. And you need that 7 days, because anything less and you don't break the habits of ignoring each other or not showing respect to each other. And it's amazing. Sometime around day four, your kids will connect to you and they'll ask stories from you and they'll want to know about your past, and you'll have the most amazing relationship for that back end of the trip. Five, do you demand to know where your kids are on Friday and Saturday night, and do they tell you the truth? Because I promise you, if they'll lie about that, they'll lie about anything. And you want to be tough on them, because then they know that honesty is the only accepted policy. And sixth, do they participate in a team sport? Because then they have responsibilities to their peers, and if they harm themselves physically, they're harming others as well. Those are the six best indicators of keeping your kids happy, healthy, and drug-free.
Frank Luntz is my guest. The new book is called What Americans Really Want, Really. Our number is 1-800-933-5372. Let's go first in Dallas to Taz. Hey, Taz.
Hi. I wanted to make a comment about Dr. Luntz's the view that he has. My view is that the American society is becoming very consumer-oriented, and that fact is reflected in how our economy is structured as well. And the point I'm trying to make is the more the emphasis is placed on consumerism, the more our economy becomes fragile and the more it's prone to break. We humans do not need as much consumer stuff. I mean, you go to the mall and you see three for the price, you know, for the price of one. That type of thing. You're basically over-consuming it over and over again, and you really don't need that much stuff.
What do you think about that, Frank?
In one sense, I agree, because we don't need it. but I also believe in celebrating diversity, celebrating opportunity, and celebrating the right to choose. If there are, I had been traveling, and this is where I started to focus on consumerism. I'd been in Eastern Europe in the late 1980s, and I had spent about 5 weeks there. And I came out, and I flew into West Germany. I flew into Frankfurt. And in the airport of Frankfurt, at that time, it was all shiny and bright and gold, and everything was well-polished, and they had a gazillion products. And I'd just been in Poland, Czechoslovakia, Hungary, parts of East Germany, and I almost fainted. And I remember the scene from Moscow and the Hudson when Robin Williams is looking at coffee this, coffee that, instant this, instant that, and he collapses. And I knew how he felt. I don't like the idea that we would ever say to Americans, you don't need this. You don't want this. Americans have to make choices. This is where I agree with the caller. We should be making choices that help us set priorities. We complain that Washington doesn't set priorities, and yet we in our own lives so often don't. But let us set priorities without denying those who want to make the choice. Let's not deny them that opportunity to make that choice.
Let's talk for a minute about healthcare. One of the things you found was that there's a vast difference in older people and younger people when it comes to the focus of medicine and medical research and exactly what we should be looking at.
Yes, and there's a whole chapter, just as we talked about Gen 2020, for those of your listeners who are in retirement or heading towards retirement, there's a chapter on redefining retirement because it doesn't exist anymore. Most Americans, a majority of Americans at age 65, don't retire. They may leave their current jobs, but they continue to work. In fact, they're still working into their early 70s. And retirement is no longer moving down to Boca Vista, as they did in Seinfeld, and living the life of leisure down in Florida. Retirement still means work, but it means your work rather than someone else's. It means your little company rather than someone else's. It means adding a little something special, doing what you want to do rather than what someone else wants you to do. And in terms of healthcare, for younger people, the science and the technology is all about breakthroughs, and it's about curing diseases. For seniors, the most quality healthcare is about control, controlling your future, controlling the doctor-patient relationship, controlling your decision-making process. Young people are looking for breakthroughs. Seniors and retirees are looking for control of their lives because they really don't want to give it up.
Going back for a minute to this idea that a lot of people are working later in life than they did before, or certainly now because a lot of people had retirement savings that's been wiped out, one of the things you think we failed to do as a country is really provide for good work environments for seniors. Can you talk about what those kinds of environments would include?
Yes, and I credit AARP for this. In looking at this, they're the ones that brought my attention to it. We are missing such an opportunity. If you ask me, who would I rather hire, a 67-year-old who's got 40 years of business experience or a 22-year-old who's got 6 months, I'm going with a 67-year-old any day. We're missing a whole generation of people who built a work ethic, built an understanding of what it takes to succeed, and we're losing them. We're sending them out. Basically, we're sending them out to pasture when we should be welcoming them back into the workforce. They're willing to work for less. They want to be respected. They want to contribute something to the workplace environment. We should be welcoming them. You in Texas and Dallas in particular, you've got a very successful older population that is looking for something to do and a very inexperienced younger population that needs to be mentored. Why not bring the two of them together? There's a whole section in the book about these changes that would make life so much better for America's retirees and benefit all of society as well.
Frank Luntz is with us. The new book is called What Americans Really Want, Really. Our number is 1-800-933-5372. Let's go next to Ken in Plano. Hello, Ken.
Yes, hi. My question is, whose job should it be in this particular culture? Whose job should it be to teach us what's important, to teach us what the priority should be? Is it the clergymen, the politicians, learned men like yourself? I'm sure Plato covered this 2,000 years ago, but the question is, there's got to be somebody to teach us what we don't know.
And I'm going to flip it around. That's a great question. Is the caller still on?
You know, he just left.
It's a shame. And by the way, I encourage callers because I'd love to respond to you. And I want to say this to help your pledge drive. You should be having people like me making the pitch for you. You have to make it because it's part of your job. I want to make it on your behalf because I do believe that having an hour to talk about these issues is unique on radio. You just don't have it. And unlike all these other programs where everyone's yelling at each other, this is a chance to have a spirited but respectful civil conversation, and I think that, this should be supported financially. So I'm going to make your pitch even better than you because I really, really want you to succeed.
Thank you. We'll never stop you from making the pitch for us or better than us, certainly.
In terms of who should be teaching us, I want to flip the question around. The question is, how should we learn it? I don't believe that we should be necessarily taught. I think that we should be active seekers of that information. I love my job as a pollster because every day I get to ask people, and a majority of them I don't necessarily agree with because I'm asking them about so many different issues, I get to learn all about what Americans think and feel. When I gather information, it's not to affirm what I believe, it's to inform it. I'm not seeking those who agree with me. I'm actually seeking those who don't. And so in this process of learning, that's how I learn how other people set priorities, and I can then judge. This person did it well, this person did it badly, so I'm going to try to emulate. I'm going to try to copy those that are successful, and I'm going to try to learn from those who aren't. I'd like to change the focus. Instead of teaching, let's focus on learning.
Dr. Frank Luntz is with us. He will be in Dallas on November 2nd for a lecture to the National Center for Policy Analysis Distinguished Lecture Series.
So come to that, by the way, so I can sign your books.
There you go. You can get a copy of the book, get it signed by Frank. We will return to our conversation with him in just a moment. And the lines are full right now on the phone, but if you want to send us an email, that goes to think@kera.org. Now we have, of course, that other phone number that for a couple weeks out of every year becomes very, very important to us, 1-800-456-5372. We are trying to raise $600,000. That's what the money folks tell us we need to keep the station strong and healthy until the next fundraising drive. We are not, we're a not-for-profit. We're not trying to get rich here. Sounds like a lot of money, but that's exactly the amount we need to continue providing you the service that you've come to rely on. Your contribution is really about paying for something that you are already using. As we talked about yesterday, when you go to the dentist or your accountant and they've performed a service for you, you don't sort of wrinkle your nose at paying the fee because you understand that's how it works. That's how it works here, too. Instead of selling advertising so that someone else pays for your consumption, we just ask you directly, and you know what fits into your budget. We would ask now that you call us at 1-800-456-5372 or make a contribution online at kera.org. Jeff Whittington is back on the show. Jeff, senior producer of Think, brings you all of the amazing guests on this show, everybody, including Dr. Frank Luntz. Jeff can get the best guests, and for that, we on the staff all remain eternally grateful.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Chris. And you know, it's a great pleasure to be able to bring guests onto the show, knowing that you're going to be talking with them, because I always know it's going to be an interesting conversation, no matter who it is on the Think Show. And maybe that's why you tune in. You know, I hear from many people in the community. Many of you call and email, which is great. I run into people out there all the time who say, gosh, Chris and the show just keep getting better and better and better. And if you feel that way, then why not support this program? I mean, we have a full board of callers right now who are waiting to speak to Dr. Frank Luntz, and we're going to get to as many of you as we can after this membership break and after the station break. But, you know, it takes money to put this kind of show on the air. And so far, during the drive, we've heard from hundreds and probably thousands of you who have contributed $358,000. $358,650 has been contributed so far, and that's fantastic. But you know, our goal is $600,000, and we'd really like to wrap this drive up by Friday. If you have not yet done made your contribution during this campaign, even if you're a current member, if you joined last spring, I would ask that you just go ahead and make another contribution now. Look, it's membership time. We're hoping that we can convince you to support the station when it's membership time, no matter where you are in your membership year. So all you have to do is call 800-456-5372, make a contribution, and we won't be asking you anymore, and you can help us wrap this drive up in what looks to be record time.
Think about this. How often do you listen to a guest on the show and say to yourself, I've got to go out and get that book? You know, and if you do this even once a month, you're spending a significant amount of money on reading. We're glad you do, and we think that makes for a smart and well-informed audience. But it means that there's a little money in there for you spend money, you budget money for learning and for developing your mind and your intellectual capacity and for exploring views that, as Frank Luntz was talking about, may not jibe with yours. Look, we don't bring everybody on this show who agrees with what we say because we just want to understand what they think and how they think.
Yeah, it's not what it's about. I mean, that's not what we do on public radio. You know, it's not a platform for producers and hosts and quite frankly, for advertisers to make sure that the message that they want is out in the marketplace to shape some sort of end. You know, it's all about a conversation. And yeah, we'll have people on the show that you agree with and people that you disagree with. But you know what? Someone agrees with that person that you disagree with, and someone disagrees with the point of view that you like to hear on the radio. And that's what this is all about. There's no agenda. It's just it's pretty much the waterfront, as I describe it. And, you know, I think that's special. It's special that there's a place, and I think Frank Luntz, he did earlier, agrees with me. It's special that there's a place in the broadcast spectrum where you can go for that kind of civil conversation on some tough issues, quite frankly.
Even when we're doing fundraising and we're taking extra time out of the hour, as you pointed out earlier, Jeff, we still spend well over half an hour in this conversation, which is not something that even on the best day you would get on a commercial station. There's nothing wrong with the way they do business. It's just different than the way we do business, as is the way they raise money. We ask you quite directly and as honestly as we can to please send money to 1-800-456-5372.
Or do it online at kera.org. You know, it's not what host X or host Chris or producer Jeff thinks you know about the topic. It's what the guest thinks and what you think. And then, you know, down the road, we'll have a guest who maybe has a different point of view on the same kind of topic, maybe in a week, maybe in a month, but definitely it'll happen. And that's what you're supporting when you call 800-456-5372. Thanks to M. Patricia Teeters in Crowley, a new member, also Cherinusa Carmen in Plano, a new member, and Andrew and it looks like Patty Clifford and McKinney. Thank you so much.
Your contributions do make a difference. You know, you might think to yourself, what does my $5 or $10 a month mean when they're raising $600,000? Believe me, it all adds up from a lot of contributions just like that one. People who listen, people who make space not only in their intellectual life for public radio, but also in their financial life. 1-800-456-5372 is the telephone number. You can also reach us online at kera.org. Back in a minute with Frank Luntz.
Funding for Think comes from SMU's continuing and professional education, who can help you get ahead in today's tough economy. Hundreds of courses begin weekly this fall. Online at smu.edu/CAPE.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. Dr. Frank Luntz is with us this hour. His new book is called What Americans Really Want, Really, The Truth About Our Hopes, Dreams, and Fears. We have an email here from Len in Dallas who says, generations ago, Americans had an interest in creating a better world. Does the same hold true today?
Not as much. We are committed to things like ending global warming and climate change, although we're not sure whether we are willing to do it if other nations don't follow. We do donate more money to organizations that feed the hungry all across the globe, and Americans are always first when it comes to aiding those in distress. But we are more hostile to foreign aid than at any time in recent times because we've got enough suffering right here in this country. I think we've started to look inward. We are just as philanthropic, just as charitable, but we've started to believe that we need charity to start at home, to help those in our communities first before we go and help those in faraway lands.
1-800-933-5372 is our number. Let's go next to George in Arlington. Hey, George.
Hi. Thank you for having me on. My question was, does your guest think that Generation 2020 is a more cynical generation than previous ones? I guess because I'm part of that generation, I hear the argument all the time that, you know, our generation is addicted to technology and more vain than previous generations, etc. But I feel that almost all generations say that about their kids, or I guess historically a lot of generations have said that about their kids. And I guess to make my point, I was reading something recently that says that my generation gets its news more from just like the Daily Show than traditional news sources. I'm going to take my call off the air, and thank you for having me on.
Thanks for your call.
Actually, younger people are the most optimistic of any generation. 18 to 29-year-olds are the only generation where a majority aren't, quote, mad as hell and not going to take it anymore, unquote. It's the only generation that is optimistic about the future. It's one of the reasons why they voted for Barack Obama. That Obama won so overwhelmingly the 18 to 29-year-old vote that he basically broke even with John McCain among those 30 and older. But he won because he got 67% of those first, second, and third-time voters. They do believe, they see life in a very different way than their parents do, and whereas their parents see a tremendous degree of suffering and economic anxiety, their kids see opportunities as far as the eye can see, with one exception. A lot of them who've been getting out of school have suddenly realized that 9.8% unemployment means them as well.
You know, Frank, you became sort of a household word as you were wordsmithing for the GOP, and yet then Senator Obama made a point of sort of sitting down with one of the focus groups that you were conducting and wanting to pay attention to what was happening there. What did that tell you about his approach to, if anything, to understanding the country that he wanted to serve?
Well, there's a story that's not in What Americans Really Want, and I am hoping that people buy the book because I do believe that it's going to change their preconceptions about what Americans think and feel. And my preconception of Barack Obama changed when I met him. He sat me down in his Senate office, and he sat on the couch, and I sat in his chair. Now, I've met every one of the 100 senators, and I'm not exaggerating. I have met every United States senator in the lead-up to the 2008 election, and not one of them had put me in the Senate chair. And I asked him, why are you doing this? And he laughed at me and said, if I knew you any better, I wouldn't be sitting on my couch. I'd be laying on my couch. He is an incredibly casual, easygoing person. And during the campaign, if your callers know of my background, so often on the blogs I've been accused of just being in the tank for Republicans. Barack Obama was more interested in what I was learning than John McCain was. And I actually had more conversations face-to-face and on the telephone with Obama than I did with John McCain. Because of the work that I was doing, the televised work for Fox News, I let anyone who was interested come and watch it, see it, and learn from it. And the McCain campaign wasn't interested. The Obama campaign was. And so to the surprise of people on their radios listening right now, the Obama campaign actually learned a lot more from what I was learning than the McCain campaign did.
Let's go next on the line to Damian in Dallas. Hey, Damian.
Hi, how are you, Chris?
Great, thank you.
I had two comments/questions. First, in reference to your guest mentioning of the hypocrisy of Americans, I was wondering if he had had the ability to do the research in regards to how that could, especially in the instance that he had brought up, with most Americans wanting smaller government and yet demanding more services or wanting more services or at least more value for their dollar, how that hypocrisy might actually serve Americans better by, you know, possibly having us, you know, demand more for our dollar for what we're getting. And yet still being cost manageable.
Yeah, let me stop you there. And I appreciate that you have two comments, but we have lots of folks on the line, so let me just have Frank address this one.
And I'll try to answer the questions more quickly.
That's where you
need accountability. If we had accountability, if politicians didn't promise everything before the election and didn't destroy each other in the process, we'd have a lot more faith in the people who lead us, and we'd be willing to listen more. There's a reason why these town hall meetings that are being held across the country are attracting not dozens of people, but hundreds or in some cases thousands, because Americans want to take back their government. And it's not some right-wing mob. In fact, the most common attendees are independents who are outraged at both political parties. And so that's why Americans feel like they're trapped between a government that doesn't do what it says and an economy that doesn't seem to care about them.
Can you get elected in this country, though, if you promise only what you know that you can deliver and what you intend to do? Or does that kind of honesty essentially tell people that you're not trying hard enough?
I want someone to stand up on the floor of the House, because you'd never do it in the Senate, and say, I'm mad as hell, I'm not going to take any more, and that's it. That the American people have the right to know about these earmarks, they have a right to know about this pork, and they have a right to demand enough is enough. Stop compromising. Stop turning another cheek and actually get up. And I won't use four-letter words on this call, but I'd love to see them do it on the floor of the House and say that this is how outraged they are about what's happening in Washington. If I gave you the list, I could go through an entire hour's program with a list of wasteful Washington spending that would outrage your listeners. That's why we're so angry right now. We feel that we're working harder than ever, and Washington is still wasting our money.
As a journalist, I was really surprised to find that Americans treasure free speech but are not that interested or not as interested in freedom of the press. Do you think that's a statement on the untrustworthiness of the media today?
It's a statement in the lack of credibility of the media today, that you have newspapers where you can absolutely predict. The New York Times. The last time the New York Times endorsed a Republican for any major office was never. And the public looks at that, and Republicans look at that and say, why should I read the newspaper? Democrats look at that and say, come on. Surely there's someone out there that's decent. That you have now news channels, 24-hour news channels. You know exactly what Keith Olbermann is going to say. You know exactly, frankly, what Glenn Beck is going to say. And so you tune in if you agree or disagree. The what the American people want is an honest broker to tell us what's really happening and then lead us, not lead us to make a decision, but allow us to decide what's right and what's wrong. We don't have that right now, and that's why this hostility towards the media is so great. And I, by the way, I want to give my employer credit. And I know that it is not a popular thing to say, probably in a channel like this. But in the sessions that I did for Fox News, Barack Obama beat John McCain in all three debates, according to my viewers. If the opposite had happened and I'd been on MSNBC, they would have thrown me off the air, as they did 4 years ago. That for whatever you want to say and write, I reported that Obama won those debates, and they gave me more time each time I reported it to let viewers make up their minds. I think that's impressive. That's the way news should be.
The last thing I have time to ask you is what you want for America.
What I want for America is for people not to be... That's such a good question. This is such a good interview, and this is such a great radio station that's worth the investment.
Thank you.
I want people to stop yelling at each other. I want people to appreciate our differences and to celebrate them. I want those of you listening to spend 1 week from a news source that you don't agree with, so at least you're informed rather than affirmed. And I want us to celebrate. I love every day of my life, because I know that every day is going to be different, and I'm going to be excited and challenged and disappointed within an hour. But then something good is going to happen and something bad is going to happen. Enjoy it. You only go around once, and enjoy this country, because only in America can you have conversations like this that end up with a guest and an interviewer thanking each other for that hour. That's what makes this country special. It's what makes life special.
The newest book by Dr. Frank Luntz is called What Americans Really Want, Really, The Truth About Our Hopes, Dreams, and Fears. He'll be in town November 2nd to speak to the National Center for Policy Analysis. Learn more about that at ncpa.org. Frank, it really is always a genuine pleasure. Thank you so much.
It's my pleasure, and good luck with your contribution drive.
Thanks. If you would like to participate in the contribution drive, you can give us a call at 1-800-456-5372. You can also send email to think@kera.org. But if you want to make a contribution, you can go to kera.org, and there is a support button on there. We have this new thing called the Green Membership, relatively new, where you can opt out of all the paper mailings and still become a full member, and we'll just get in touch with you via email. So if that sort of thing is important to you, you might consider that. Most important to us is that you get involved with the station, not only as a listener, but as a financial supporter. Jeff Whittington is here with us now. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Chris. And hey, just to clarify one thing that I left out earlier, the info I handed you. Dr. Luntz is also going to appear on Monday at UTD's Graduate School of Management in the Davidson Auditorium at 5:30. So if you check out UTD's Graduate School of Management on the web, you can find out about that. Wow, what a great conversation. You know what? We heard from a lot of people, Chris, at 800-456-5372 or via the web at kera.org. Thanks to Jessica Henson in Dallas, Terry Smith in Southlake, Ryan Crone, a renewing member in Dallas, and Kelly O'Neill, a new member in Dallas.
Barbara Rothgib of Dallas is rejoining the station. Thank you, Barbara. Matthew Kraxberger is a new member in Dallas. Donna Robbins is a renewing member in Dallas. James Meredith made a contribution from Arlington.
Rubana Ahmed in Dallas. Charles Goulding in Dallas. Catherine Fordyce in Southlake. And Bonnie Pearson in Dallas. Thanks so much for your contributions.
Thanks to new member Matt Doan from Fort Worth and renewing member Robert Johnson of Arlington. Hopefully we'll be able to read your name very soon because you are at this moment picking up the phone and calling 1-800-456-5372.
You know, I'm really excited, Chris. We've raised $360,000 toward the $600,000 membership campaign goal. And, you know, that's really amazing. It's Tuesday. It is Tuesday of the second week, but our goal all along was to get this done within a couple of weeks. So really, if we can finish by Friday, it's going to be a record setter. If we can finish before Friday, it's really going to be a record setter. And we know that there are those of you who are waiting for the last day. I mean, that's just part of the deal. We know that some of you only contribute on what appears to be the last day. And we kind of have an idea of what we can do fundraising-wise on that last day. It's pretty consistent. So really, the fact that we're $240,000 away means we're actually rather close, because if you add the last day to what we've got so far, there's not a whole lot in there left to do. So your call right now, your contribution right now at 800-456-5372 or online at kera.org, your $200, your $500 for a year of listening really actually pushes us very close to that sort of last day striking range.
Public radio is different than other forms of broadcasting, and there's nothing wrong with those other things. You know, we all around here watch TV and occasionally listen to commercial radio. But our model is different. Our product is different. You just can't get this at a station that makes its money through advertising. More power to them, but we have something different here. We're proud of it. We know that you're proud of it and that you value it. We hear from you all the time. So I would just ask you to ask yourself why it's not worth a little bit of your money. You know, we used to talk all the time about how much people were spending on coffee. I think people are spending less perhaps these days on coffee. But the suggestion never was that you cut out the coffee and give that money to KERA. The point was that there's probably a little bit of money in your budget for things that make your day that much better. KERA, we would argue, is one of those things and worth your support at 1-800-456-5372 or online at kera.org.
Yeah, my vices would be premium coffee and premium six packs of beer. So but figure out how many of those I can cut out. And
one happens before 5 p.m.
That's exactly. And, you know, we're not asking you to deny yourself something because, you know, we want you. We're here on a mission to actually improve the quality of life for all of us. Chris and I listen to the station, too. And public radio, I think it adds to the national discourse. I don't think that anybody gets beat down on, except during the pledge drive.
And that's mostly the staff.
Right. By public radio. You know, it's supposed to be something that makes the world a better place. And, you know, that's an easy thing for us to come on the air and ask you to help pay for. And we have ways that we can thank you. You know, if you want to join at the $100, $120 membership level or higher, we can send you your very own copy of Frank Luntz's new book, What Americans Really Want, Really. The truth about our hopes, dreams, and fears. He's a really compelling individual, and you know, whether or not you agree or disagree with his politics, or even really know what his politics are, he is always worth the hour of conversation. And I think that if you join the station, and even if you don't get, if you go get the book at the bookstore, you're going to find something compelling there for you, no matter where you are, via the political aisle. But the key thing is that you contribute to the station. And that's why we're bringing guests like Frank Luntz. That's why we got James Ledbetter on next hour. These are compelling, interesting topics, not any different necessarily than what we do every day. But we're hoping that we can convince you this week, especially today, to call 800-456-5372 or contribute at kera.org.
You know, it's interesting because his positions on things may not be exactly as yours, but Frank Luntz is a guy who absolutely embodies the values of public radio. The idea that he doesn't go into anything with a position, but that he wants to understand what the reality is and then form his own opinions from there, I think is a beautiful thing and is the sort of thing that we would encourage you to do when listening to public radio.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously, he doesn't work at a public radio station, but he's got the pitch down. He knows what it is, what it's all about when you call and support your source for NPR News, KERA 90.1, Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton. Also, K261 CW100.1 in Tyler, K202 DR88.3 in Wichita Falls, and K257 EV99.3 in Sherman.
We will still take your contributions at 1-800-456-5372, and you can go online to kera.org. We hope to hear from you in the next moment or two and throughout the afternoon. We'll be back in just a moment.
The Think team includes assistant producer Betsy Lewis and engineer Nilofer Arsala. Our senior producer is Jeff Whittington. Learn more about today's show, find out about upcoming programs, and download our free daily podcasts at kera.org/think. And we'd like to hear what you think about Think. Email your comments, questions, and suggestions to think@kera.org.